Great. Thanks a lot, Bill. So I thought I would start our debate tonight about how we should tax different ways of working by asking a slightly easier question of should different ways of working be taxed differently in the first place? Because, of course, as many of us will, you know, already know or have learned recently, the tax system currently treats people very differently according to how they work. So just to illustrate that to you, this is a chart that shows you the tax liability for an example of a job that generates £40,000. And the kind of the big takeaway you can see instantly from here is that the tax liability is much higher if that job gets done through an employment contract than if it gets done through self-employment or through being a company owner-manager. And in fact, for this particular example, the tax liability is over £3,500 higher if you're an employee than if you're self-employed. And that entire difference is driven by national insurance, in particular because the self-employed have a lower rate of NICs, and there's no equivalent to employer NICs, which is driving a lot of that wedge. If you're a company owner manager, you get a lower tax rate here because we assume you can take income out of your company in the form of dividends, which are more likely taxed than salary. And it's worth saying here, this probably understates the benefit to running your own business because there are various other ways you can reduce your tax liability. So, for example, sharing income with a spouse or shifting over time or deducting more business expenses. It's also worth saying that what I'm showing you here is kind of the way the tax system treats different ways of working. As I know many of us have learned in recent years, that doesn't align perfectly with employment law statuses. And in particular, that shows up at the employment, self-employment boundary, which I think was where lots of the concern and court cases actually have been. And particularly, there have been concerns about individuals who maybe we think should be deemed to be employees, but actually are either choosing or being nudged into self-employment because that comes with fewer employment rights and obviously lower taxes. So I think this graph and the kinds of issues you've been reading about in the paper already start to show the problems with having a tax system that looks like this. So it's unfair, in particular because two very similar individuals earning very similar incomes get very different treatments. There's kind of a horizontal equity issue going on there. And it's inefficient. So we know, for example, that some of these self-employed people might otherwise have been employees were it not for the tax system. And more broadly, there's tons of evidence that individuals change their behaviours, both in terms of how they choose to work and how they choose to take their income because of the tax system. Now, they're not new problems at all. They've been around for a long time. One of the things that's slightly newer is that the government started to quantify the cost of giving lower rates to these groups. And in fact, we think that the cost of giving lower rates is about £11 billion a year. And as we now all know, there's been a rapid growth in individuals running their own businesses. That's actually been one of the sort of good news stories since the recession. We've had more self-employed people, more company owner managers. But that translates into a bit of a public finance problem because more of these individuals' work moving into the lower tax category means, you know, more revenue that's going to be lost. So even if you don't care about the fairness or the efficiency problems, there's a public finance issue to care about. And of course, the Chancellor tried to take a small step towards dealing with the public finance issue. So we know there'll be a dividend tax cut, the allowance cut, which for most owner managers will mean a tax increase of about £220. The Chancellor tried to slightly edge up NICs for the self-employed, but then this happened. So, of course, the Sun and lots of Tory backbenchers didn't like that idea at all, so that's been U-turned. I think it's just worth spending a second thinking about the scale of what the Chancellor was trying to do. Just to show you that, this is the schedule for national insurance contributions for a self-employed person. This is how it will look when we abolish Class 2 NICs, so almost identical. This is the schedule for an employee. So it's this, there's a 14 percentage point wedge for most of this. This is what the Chancellor was trying to do. So the hoo-ha has been about a tax change that, at worst, for individuals in the higher rate tax band, would have been a tax increase of £600. But if we really want to level the playing field and worry about the gap, this is the gap we should be worried about. And just to give you an example, for somebody, for a job that's generating £60,000, that's a tax difference of over £7,000. So really, whether or not the Chancellor's measure went through or not, it was always just scratching at the surface of a much bigger issue. But I think a legitimate question is, well, are we sure this is an issue? So I'm pitching this to you as it's a problem. Of course, it's been in the system for a long time, and lots of people would argue it's a good part of the system. So what I'm going to do the rest of my time is basically run through three of the most common arguments to justify these big tax differences and try to point out where I think there is room for debate about what the tax system should look like. So common argument number one, it's often argued that lower NICS rates reflect lower access to publicly funded benefits. Now in principle this is a good argument. If they do get lower contributory-based benefits, you might think that deserves a lower NICS rate. But nowadays it's just not true. So actually the self-employed get very similar benefits to employees. The big difference used to be pensions, But from April last year, now the self-employed and employees accrue the same rights to a single-tier state pension. And in fact, when that got introduced, that was a kind of big giveaway to the self-employed. The two differences that remain are the self-employed don't get access to contribution-based job seekers allowance or to statutory paternal benefits. Although, no, they do get access to something called maternity allowance. So actually the difference in access to maternity rights is much smaller between these two groups than people often think. Now, of course, for the individuals getting these benefits, they can be important. But the thing to realise in terms of tax policy is that in revenue terms, they're tiny. And they're really far smaller than the really big NICS difference I showed you in the previous chart. So if you do some sort of back-of-the-envelope calculations and try to say, OK, they get lower benefits, what kind of difference in rates would that justify? It justifies quite a lot less than 1 percentage point difference in rates. So if I showed you on that chart, you'd be struggling to see the difference between the lines. So I think there are interesting debates here about, you know, whether we can extend parental benefits to the self-employed, and I think the government's sort of said they might think about that. And there are issues more generally in the tax system about can we level certain tax treatments, but there really isn't an argument here that says they should get lower rates because of lower contribution-based benefits. Okay, so that's argument number one. Argument number two is that lower rates are necessary to compensate for lack of employment rights. So as we all know, the self-employed don't get employment rights such as holiday pay and sick pay. And I can understand why it's really enticing to think, well, this means they should get a lower tax rate to compensate for them. But when you think it through, that just doesn't hold any water. It's like a logically flawed argument. And the way to see that is to realise that employment rights aren't like a benefit that the government gives to employees. It's not like a cash benefit they're giving to one group and not the other. Employment rights are just a transfer from employers to their employees. When you think what that means is that employment rights make employment more attractive to the employee, so I'm more likely to want to work as an employee if I get holiday pay and sick pay. And you can kind of think of the higher tax rates on employees as offsetting that somewhat. But at the very same time, the same employment rights make it less attractive to the employer. So it makes the employer more likely to want to go and contract with a self-employed person. And of course, in this case, the higher tax rate is exactly reinforcing that problem. It's reinforcing the problem we're all worried about. The punchline is that there is no overall net benefit being given by the government to the employment relationship. So it's only for the tax system to offset. And if that feels a little bit abstract, then think of it this way. Employment rights can really be seen just as part of a remuneration package. And in some companies, this is really obvious, because some companies allow you to choose to have a higher salary and lower holiday pay, or a higher holiday pay and a lower salary. So it's just part of the way that you're being remunerated. Now, that's not to say that I don't think there are interesting employment rights issues. I think there are tons of interesting issues here about, are we getting employment rights right? Are they too stringent? Are they not supportive enough? Are there things that the government can do to help self-employed people as they go about engaging with customers directly? But I think the really good news story for the tax people in the room is that we don't have to worry about that. We can kind of let the guys who are specialists in employment law and employment rights worry about that, and we don't have to take forward any issues from that for tax design. We can sort of be agnostic to those changes. Okay, then final argument before I hand over, which I think is probably the most common of the three that I'm running through, is that lower rates are a good way to reward risk-taking and entrepreneurship. Now, people often say this, and it comes up a lot. When you think about it, the difficulty and risk associated with running a business don't in and of themselves justify a favourable tax treatment. I mean, it's why we don't subsidise people to gamble on the horses, for example, because it's not really risk per se that we care about. And we do not want the tax system pushing people out of their nice employment roles into sort of precarious self-employment where they have bad business models that are going to fail. That's a really awful thing for the tax system to do. So I think when it comes down to it, people aren't really trying to support risk per se. There's something else that we're trying to support. And the question is, what is that something else? And I think there are lots of possible answers to that question, so things you might want the tax system to be supporting. So to give you some examples, we might worry about innovation. So individuals setting up businesses, new ideas, new ways of working. You know, we might worry that because they don't reap all the returns to those activities, they won't do enough investments. We could worry about innovation. We might worry about startup companies, either because they have access to finance problems or because they're worried about making big losses. We might worry about investment. We know that the big way in which people running their own businesses and employees are different is that they do investment. So it's, I think, legitimate to worry about how the tax system treats investment. And another kind of concern that's cropped up, I think, recently with the rise in self-employment is worrying about the risk of those on low income. So I worry about these precarious self-employers who are undertaking these jobs that have risky income streams. So these are all perfectly good things to worry about, but it's hard to see across the board lower rates is what we currently do. What are they the best policy response to? I'd argue the answer is nothing, because they're poorly targeted. So lots of people running their own businesses are doing perfectly respectable things, but they're not particularly innovative, they're not startups, they're not necessarily investing, and they're not on low incomes. So they're just getting a tax break that, you know, isn't really targeted at anything. And even if there are benefits to those across the board lower rates, we have to weigh them up against the costs of creating all these horrible boundaries in the tax system. And I think most importantly, the thing to realise is that there are just better ways. So if we are worried about some of these things, let's design a policy to target them. So let's design a policy to target finance constraints, or let's worry about losses or bankruptcy rules. I think it is right that we worry about investment, and our tax base could be better in that regard and be more supportive of investment. If we think about people on low incomes, it's kind of interesting that the self-employed NICS change got such a huge amount of attention, whereas there are big changes coming into universal credit, which will actually matter much more for low-income self-employed people, that have been largely overlooked. There are lots of things we can do in this area and lots of debate to be had, but I think the takeaway that I would say is that none of the arguments I've put forward justify anything like the current tax system. So what would be much better is to think about, let's level the playing field and have a tax system that's kind of common across people, just regardless of how they choose to do their work. And then if you want to deviate from that in some way, let's think about why we want to deviate from it and design a policy that's well targeted at achieving that aim. And with that, I'll hand over to Judith.